Hi. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. This is the ALAC Executive Committee conference call on the 25th of July, 2012. The time is 13:37 UTC, and the first thing we're going to start with is the roll call. Please, Isabelle.
Welcome to everyone. On today's call, we have Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Cheryl Langdonoll, Tijani Benjamah, Evan Leibovitz, Julie Hammer, Alan Greenberg, Carlton Samuels, to join shortly unless he's already on the call, and Ranalia Abdulrahim will be joining us shortly. From staff, we have Silvia Vivanco, Matt Ashtiani, Heidi Ulrich, and myself, Thies Legruber. If I could also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Isabelle. Have we missed anyone on the call whose name hasn't been said? Okay, no one. Just one thing, of course, say your names. I know that the debates and the discussions are usually quite heated on those calls, but it becomes very hard for the transcribers to transcribe things. We will start immediately with a review of the action items, and I invite you all to go to the 11th of July, 2012 ExCom meeting action item list. Passing over most of them, I think we can just look at the current open action items and also the newly assigned action items. The first one of the open action items is the at-large staff to move forward with the SOI and COI page, and staff are to follow up on this action item with Ken. I wondered if we could have a quick update on this, please.
Sure. This is Matt for the transcript. This is actually completed. The SOI template is actually up and ready to be used. I think that the last point that we were going to maybe talk about it on one of these calls and potentially have all of the members come out SOI.
Sorry, I think we missed the last words you said. I'm not sure if it was the same for everyone, but it just buzzed while you spoke.
Well, I said, I think the last thing we spoke about, and this may have been in Prague or right before Prague, was potentially talking about it on one of the ALAC calls and having as many people as possible be walked through the process. The end result of that would be however many people join the call is how many SOIs we would actually have.
Okay. Could we have an action item perhaps then to put this on the next ALAC call agenda?
Sure. Yeah. Will do.
That'd be great. Next, the second open action item is Julie Hammer is to monitor the posting by Mikey O'Connor related to the FSRT and to then determine if the ALAC are to submit a new statement. Julie?
Yes, Julie speaking. Yes, Julie Hammer speaking, Olivier. This translated into a new action item, which is number 2 in the paragraph below. I've been through Mikey's statement again this evening, and I'm halfway through drafting an additional comment or a response. We've still got plenty of time in the response period, but I'm hoping to finish that in the next couple of days and get it to you.
Thank you, Julie. That's very much appreciated. Now we can move on to the newly assigned action item, and the first one is the same as the open action item, so we can take that one out. The second one is the same as the open action item, so that we can take that one out as well. The third one is staff to ensure that on the meeting agenda pages.
Olivier?
The statement.
Olivier, this is Heidi.
Yes, Heidi, please.
Yeah, I'm really sorry, but I just realized that that is the wrong action item page. That is from June.
That's even.
This one that I've just now put into the chat. I'm so sorry. I've just realized this, the one that I've just put into the chat is from the July 11th one. So that one has.
For a moment, I was so happy that we had done all the action items. This is great. I thought excellent, we'll be able to fly through those.
So I'm going to go ahead and update the today's agenda to the correct action item page. But for current purposes, it's in chat.
Okay, thank you, Heidi. In fact, it's okay because the open action items were the same on the new page. So let's have a look at the 11th of July 2012 action items. Now, the newly assigned action items are as follows. Staff are to check if the board meeting page is up to date. If it is not, staff are to determine why. If so, Olivier will write to Steve Crocker, noting that this lack of transparency is not appropriate. Heidi, did you check?
That was Cheryl here. That was with Alan noting that there was no meeting agenda, etc.
That's correct, Cheryl, yes. There is no meeting agenda, and there appeared at the time to be no date for the meeting set.
Gave me some additional material last night on the next meeting, so what's the story?
So what's happened just over the weekend or late last week, it was announced that there will not be a face-to-face board meeting in July. They will actually have a online votes for the agenda items for the July period. And I believe there are 14 items on the to be voted on online, and one of those will be the ALAC improvement final report. So that's where we are
Thank you, Heidi. Alan has put his hand up. Alan, you have the floor.
The question was, are there any board meetings scheduled? And at this point, the official list still says no, there's nothing until October. And the question was, is that correct or not correct?
Okay, looked into the July one. I will look into the August one now, but I know that there's a workshop in September, so I would assume that there's not going to be a meeting in September, and then there would likely be the October meeting.
Well,
in Toronto.
The workshop says not designated as an official board meeting. Virtually every workshop that I can remember ended up becoming an official board meeting also, but that's perhaps moot. All right, I'm just trying to put together the statement that Steve has made is they're going to have a lot of smaller, more frequent board meetings, and then we have nothing between June and October. I'm just a little bit confused.
So I could make an action.
Go ahead, Heidi.
Alan, so Olivia, if you'd like, you can make an action item, or I'll just follow up with Stan for the month of August if there's going to be a face-to-face meeting during that time. Okay, thank you.
Shouldn't Heidi or Cheryl here for the record? Shouldn't Heidi also mention that what she's told us about the July online vote for agenda items is still not showing up in the public accessible broadcasting of what is going to happen? Because that's the point.
That's a very fair point, Cheryl. And yes, Heidi, if you could do that. I don't want to spend too much time on this specific point, because ultimately it really appears as though the board is at the moment not aware of what they're doing as far as their meetings are concerned. I also hear unofficial rumors that the board will be on holiday in August. So that's a very interesting way of running things.
I guess the point is, if the board is now moving to a method of having online votes and not instead of meetings, which I'm not sure is covered by the bylaws of the organization, it would be nice to know that. And
so,
not to know because Heidi tells us privately.
Yeah. And finally on it, Cheryl here for the record, I mean, this is, it's nice to just have some vague conceptual idea that the implementation of all of our recommendations from our review and the report, it's just a few years' worth of work. will actually have a tick or a cross put next to it in the not too distant future. What are they going to do? You know, email the results of the big poll vote?
Perhaps they should take a class at large, and they should send us a statement with the process by which they're approved. But I'll let Heidi follow up on that, and if you could please convey the fact that there should be a real announcement on what the board is doing, because at the moment transparency appears to have gone straight out the window. So next, number two, a webinar on the request for community input on SAC 054, domain name registration data model, is to be held. And staff out to liaise with Julie Hammer and the chair of the SAC, and that is done. And thank you very much for running this webinar, Julie. It was very interesting, and I hope that it yields the number of comments that are required in order to be able to comment on SAC 054. Alan, your hand is still up?
No, sorry. Shouldn't be.
Okay, thank you. Cheryl, your hand is up?
Yes, thanks, Cheryl, for the transcript record. This is an example, but there are many examples, of really valuable, worthwhile webinar calls happening. And what I'd like to see somehow, and we don't need to deal with it now, but we need to note that it needs to be dealt with, is that information doesn't get pushed out to the regions and the ALSs. If you weren't on that call, you don't know what stuff you missed. But it is recorded, and it would be nice to have a sort of more reliable and formalised mechanism of promulgation. So that kind of just needs to go on the to-do list. Because I found that a very worthwhile call.
Okay, thank you, Cheryl. Julie?
Julie, for the record. Just in response to Cheryl's comment, I did, Cheryl, on the page seeking comment on SAC 054, place an entry that did summarise the main points that were made in the discussion. Of course, that doesn't replace participation in the discussion, but I did try to summarise what the outcomes were.
Cheryl here. Julie, thank you for that. But I mean, that's great, but it's only us wiki junkies that get to see it. Now, there's 140-odd plus ALSs who probably aren't plugged in. You know, they don't get up in the morning, open their internet connections and look at the ICANN wiki.
How do you reach them?
Well, that's my point. We have in fact a mechanism whereby we have a contact, or between one and three contacts for each ALS. It's almost like we should have something going out newsletterish, e-newsletterish, via the regions, tailored to the regional interests. Maybe this is something Sylvie can sort of think over, that just pushes the links of what happened that their membership might be interested in, because there's all this really valuable stuff, and I'm just unconvinced that people are actually being drawn to it. In other words, we need to be doing a bit of push as well as a bit of pull technology. Okay, I'll shut up now, Olivier, sorry.
Thank you, Cheryl. In fact, I think there should also be perhaps a standard page which points to all of the webinars that have taken place. I'm not sure whether we have such a page already in place, but certainly if we do have regular webinars about various subjects, it might be something that even newcomers to our community might be interested in going through, being able to access all of the webinars from a single point. Okay, so staff, I guess you can follow up on that with the regions and try and get this more, at least the recording and the, I know that the presentation itself is also on the wiki page, have this pushed more to the regions, perhaps contact the secretariat so that they actually do things. And I know that some of the secretariats do, but others are less proactive about this. So next, next we look at the, where am I now? There we are. Next one is staff to liaise with the staff contacts for the preliminary GNSO issue report on the protection of international organization names in new GTLD and see if the comment period can be extended for 10 days until the 26th of July 2012. And I believe that was done and granted. Is that correct?
This is Heidi Olivier. Yes, that was done on the 11th of July. So Marika's were.
And of course, great. And of course, the I think that the final statement was either filed yesterday or will be filed today at some point. Next, staff are to send a note to Marika, letting her know that the ALAC will soon submit a statement on the inter-registrar transfer policy part C, policy development process initial report. Heidi?
This is Heidi. I misspoke. The first one was with Margie. I contacted Margie. This one, I contacted Marika as well. So they're both aware of.
Okay, thank you. And this one will also be filed, I believe, today or very shortly. Next, OCL to send staff a copy of the Steve Metallic text regarding the .com renewal. A vote is to then commence, will be sent to the ALAC for a vote. That was the text, yes, and that I'm not quite sure if that, well, did this take place or not. I did send a copy to the ALAC XCOM, and I also sent a copy to the whole ALAC list and asked for comments on this. So far, the comments are that there is support for this letter. There haven't been any comments with objecting to this letter being signed on behalf of the ALAC. And I just wanted to actually find out with you. We have at the end of the week, and unfortunately yesterday, I totally forgot to call for a vote to take place on the call. So where do we go from here? Can we assume that having asked twice on the ALAC list for support and objections, all of the feedback so far has been in the direction of yes, please sign it, bearing in mind that the actual letter is very close, if I wouldn't say verbatim, but it effectively points in exactly the same direction as the statement that we have filed and sent to the board, and which had been voted on with a unanimous vote. Alan, your hand came briefly up. Oh, it's back up. So, Alan Greenberg.
I'm not sure why it went down. That's not correct. Our vote, our previously approved statement, very explicitly said this is not on the subject of what was in the contract, but the process by which it was approved, whereas the new statement focuses far more on the specific issue and the fact that that was ignored in the process. So, in other words, they could, if they had had an open board meeting and voted on it just the way they did on Saturday, our last statement would not have been necessary. But since they did it ahead of time, having scheduled the open comment period, we were objecting. The current Steve letter from Steve Metallis talks about that, but also talks about the substance of the who is issue. So they are two different statements. I support sending it, but we should be clear that it is not something we already effectively ratified. It is a different.
That's right. You're right, and I apologize for this.
Alan is right about that.
It has a second part to it to add to this.
Yeah, there is a significant.
Sorry, Carlson.
So I was saying Alan is right about that. There's no significant difference, though. I think we would have supported it anyway.
So you think, can we take it that we do, bearing in mind...
I think we can take it that we do, Chair, and there's a consensus, and you sign the letter.
Yep.
Okay, what I can do is to sign the letter...
You sent out a notice yesterday, is there any objection? Give people 24 hours. If they don't object, they don't object.
All right, so I'll wait. We have until Friday anyway, so
yeah.
What I will do is to wait another 48 hours until Friday, and on Friday, assuming there are no objections and assuming there might be more support, public support for the email, I will send an answer to Steve Metallis, carbon copying the list. And in that, I will advise that although there has been no vote on the ALAC, there has been strong support for the signature to be on this letter, and therefore the letter can consider that my signature is on it. Does this fly?
Yes, that's right.
I can see
yes.
Tijani,
yes.
Cheryl, Carlton, everyone with a positive tick, so that's very good. Okay, so now we have the next one. Actually, Matt has just mentioned something on the text. Matt, could you please read what you just sent me separately, please?
Hi, this is Matt from the transcript,
So Olivier actually sent me the text of what he thought the endorsement should say. And it reads, the ALAC endorses the request from the IPC to seek a reconsideration by the ICANN board on its decision to approve the .com renewal without changes. And this bypasses the issue of who it is because it's endorsing the reconsideration.
Yes.
That's correct, but this is not what the IPC has now asked. The IPC has reconsidered their idea to seek a reconsideration since it is actually such an important thing to request a reconsideration. So instead of that, looked for a letter that would comment on the process rather than seeking a full reconsideration.
So
okay, so let's... Yes, Carlton?
I was saying that the content would have to change of the letter.
Correct, yeah. Okay, so let's move on then to the next... next thing, and this is number six, staff to send out a call for comments and to begin the statement process. And they begin the statement, that's interesting, they begin the statement process on the public forum comments made by Evan, Carlton, and Holly. That effectively are the comments which were made during the public meeting, which we all know about, and I believe that the process has started. The IDN statement has been processed and is underway. A couple of other statements are underway, and Evan provided us with a little update yesterday. So I don't think that we need to rediscuss this again. Any comments on any of these action items? If not, then yes, Alan.
Just a quick one. There was a note by John Levine, it may have been on the North American list, pointing out that most of the IDNs are in fact commercial trademarks or translations of .com or something like that, and are real businesses, and implicitly questioning whether there's real cultural value in this. I'm not sure to what extent that was raised in any earlier discussions. From my personal point of view, they're still increasing the visibility of scripts on the net, and I don't think it is unreasonable to say give them precedence. But I just wanted to make sure it was understood. These are not all cultural activities and local type things, other than being in a particular script.
Yes, thank you, Alan. And I have actually discussed this with Rinalia this morning.
Okay.
She picked that up as well. The problem being having been out of time for having the statement drafted and sent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the comment period is closed on this, but the idea was to send it by the submission would be on the 31st, and I think that the comments, the vote starts today and the comments closed on the 23rd. And that always is the problem, having people being able to submit comments in time for them to be taken into account by the person who is drafting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just raised the issue. In my mind, it doesn't change anything, but some people, obviously, it does. So.
Cheryl here, Olivia.
Yes, Cheryl, please, go ahead.
Thank you. Cheryl for the transcript record. Look, I agree with Alan. I think I could call myself an internationalised domain name advocate. I've only got 10-plus years in the business. It's not the set of community and special interest and community of interest name usages that I would like to have seen in my utopia, but it is what it is, and I have no problem with them being pushed to the front of the pack, because it's a thin end of the wedge, and we should in fact allow non-ASCII script users the joys of all of the stuff that we've had the pleasure of in the .com, .net and .org world anyway. That was slightly tongue-in-cheek for the transcript record. But there is a second point that I think I'd like to raise, and that is, in the absence of the AP-RALO meeting being held this week, and therefore in a timely manner for a community objection raised by an at-large structure to come up through the regions in the new GTLD process, I have facilitated a direct liaison between Internet NZ and which is a founding ALS of AP-RALO, and Dev, and whilst I've been between calls tonight, I've just read opinion piece on some of the new GTLD. Now, it's not IDNs, but it does talk about some issues which the at-large community might be interested in. I think what we might do is find that there's more groundswell and reasonable opinion development between this round and the next for the at-large community. I know that seems a bit like we're putting the horse after the cart, and I guess to some extent we are, but there was so much other stuff going wrong and being badly handled or taking our human bandwidth in this current new GTLD round. I'm not overly concerned that we dot all the I's and cross the T's. I think we just need to note John's point, and yeah, there you go. The following round of new GTLDs hopefully won't be that case. Sorry, I've prattled on a bit, but it's kind of important.
Thanks very much, Cheryl, and this is noted. And I think we can close that set of newly assigned action items and turn over to the action items on the ALAC call that took place on the 24th of July. Really looking at the bottom action items, I think the open action items at the moment are the first one being give a letter to prepare a document showing ALAC members' current membership in working groups by the next ALAC meeting. And I have to thank Gisela for this, because I have received this earlier and will be studying this, and will be sharing it probably with the XCOM. I haven't had a good chance to look closely at this. We might need to also update it as well based on our knowledge, because some of the wiki pages on which our ALAC members are listed in the working groups are sometimes not totally up to date. So that's something we can start discussing from in the next few weeks. The second one is a letter from the chair of the ALI to the chair of the board to be sent with the improvements report. This one I have to check. I must say, I'm not quite sure whether I sent it. Not yet, no. And I'm just working from memory. I will have to check my email on this, and I'll get back to you on that. Let's look at the newly assigned action items. And there we have Heidi Ulrich to contact finance and determine the specific details of APRALO and AFRALO activities at the IGF meeting in Baku, Azerbaijan. Once these have been determined, Heidi is to forward the information to the ALAC. Of course, these are newly assigned. I gather that Heidi, that's on its way.
Olivia, this is Heidi. I do have information, actually.
You do? Oh, perfect.
Yeah, well, I'll let you know on the process. Internally, there have been discussions last week and then on ongoing this week about implementing all of the requests. And that's just about being finalized internally. So the next step would be that the ACSM chairs will be giving information, and then that this it'll be information about how they're going to be implemented. It's slightly different to look to the request page that was approved in the budget fiscal year 13, and that's going to be then sent out to the community. So that should be, I think, in the next week or so. In fact, perhaps even end of this week.
Okay, thank you. Well, we look forward to finding out and getting a clearer idea of what's going on. Even today I have been asked, I think there was a discussion on the APRALO list about the current status and some confusion as to what is funded, what is not funded, and how this would all play together.
Yeah, basically the focus is going on the community is going to be looking at the actual objective of implementing the requests rather than looking at the actual pot of money that was associated with it. So again, its focus will be on the objective of the request.
Okay. Could you clarify a little bit, because that sounds it sounds quite, well, fluffy somehow.
Well,
The objective is to do outreach and actually get people interested in it in at large and put ICANN on the map as a key player rather than ICANN on the map as the CEO doing the speech.
So, for example, the request for the Uralo GA, if that was $22,000. Rather than looking at that sum as that would be the final issue and that everything should be surrounding that sum of money, the objective should be to complete the GA to bring the ALSs to the Eurojig and have their GA. Rather than looking at, okay, we've got $22,000, how are we going to do exactly? That's going to be the actual successful implementation will be the responsibility of the internal staff person who will be helping the community implement that.
Okay, but Heidi, we're talking here about the APRALO and AFRALO activities at the IGF meeting in Baku.
So this is
time sensitive, while the Uralo GA is a year from now.
No, I just was choosing the year out. Heidi, for the record, I was just choosing that as an example of what the new process will be, or not the new process. But for example, for the AFRALO and APRALO, that's going to be global partnerships. We've had several internal discussions about the implementation of that. Mandy is moving forward on that. She needed to wait for Fahir to return from, I believe it was his holiday. So she is very aware of the urgency of the issue. But there just needs to be some internal discussions first.
Okay. Well, I guess all we can do is wait. But it just seems that time is ticking, and these are really very time-sensitive. And we risk, once again, of not having enough time to actually implement something. And for the whole thing, being an absolute shambles. But anyway, this is just a personal thought. I'll let Cheryl take the floor. Cheryl?
Thank you, Olivier. Cheryl Langdon, author, Transcript Record. Just in a very tangible way to echo your, what I'm hearing is, huge sigh involved in this. Holly Roche, as one of the vice chairs of AP Rallo today, sent to our list her opinion, which to date has had no objection, that we, from an AP Rallo point of view, we should just raise our hands in general horror and dismay, go, oh, well, there you are. Yet again, we've been done over. And might I point out, AP Rallo has been done over year in and year out. And that should it be deemed appropriate, notice the snarl in my voice, this is now me rather than Holly's email, that we could contribute some supported AP Rallo faces to support whatever ICANN is doing. Again, note the snarl in my voice, so that some ability for outreach and the furthering of ICANN as a multi-stakeholder model can be successfully done in Baku. But even the concept of running a workshop from an AP Rallo point of view is now going into the too little too late pile. And if we do anything in AP Rallo, it is not stuff up. So we won't be throwing something together at the last minute and doing a piss-poor performance. We'll save face.
Thank you. Thank you, Cheryl. And I remind, of course, for the transcript that AFRALO is in also the position of having to put together a workshop. And without knowing whether they will be able to do so or not, with or without funding, it just introduces this additional level of concern.
If I may, of course, there was a proposal and in principle agreement that AP Rallo could and should work with and support the AFRALO effort on that. But hopefully AFRALO will make use of whatever AP Rallo talent may or may not be on the ground in Baku.
Okay, let's move on. Oh, I see Tijani has put his hand up. Tijani, you can close the queue on this. Tijani, please.
Yes, thank you. As I said yesterday, AFRALO has his workshop chosen as a feedback to the main session, so the importance of this workshop. I suppose that ICANN will fund our workshop, AFRALO and AFRALO. But the question is what kind of involvement we can have in the participation, in the whole participation of ICANN in the Baku IGF. Because I think that ICANN understood now that it wasn't the best way to participate in the IGF in the way they did before, and now I think they put it clearly that it will be a coordinated participation, and it will be coordinated between AFRALO, AP Rallo, GNSO, and the staff. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. I see now everyone is putting their hands up. We're spending an enormous amount of time on this. Alan, you're the last one to speak on this.
Just a very quick comment.
Yes, go ahead.
Sorry, just a very quick comment. If indeed things do not work out for Baku the way we had requested, I think this warrants a letter to the board. Just file away. Let things play out as they are, as they will. But multi-stakeholder, as I said in the chat, does mean more than the board and staff. And I think this will warrant a letter to the chair of the board or CEO if things do not work out rather quickly. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Alan. That's no. So we'll keep this one under watch, and we'll leave this as ongoing, this action item. The next one, Makashtani to update Aotearoa Maori Internet Organization of its recertification. This is either done or is on its way.
Correct, that is in progress.
Okay, thank you. Next, Carlton Samuels to draft a paragraph on the request for community input on formulation of 2013-2016 strategic plan, public comment, and post it on the weekly. I gather that the call just took place a few hours ago. I'm not asking for things to be done so quickly, but perhaps, Carlton, whilst you've been traveling, has there been any chance that you might have drafted this and put it on the wiki by miracle multitasking while sleeping?
For the record, Olivier, yes, I will have it up today.
Ah, okay, thanks. For the record, for those that did not hear my tone of voice, it's meant to be a joke, effectively, because some of those action items, I would think, take just more than less than 24 hours to effect. So next one is the Guy Legruber to send Evan the transcript of the comments made and to work on the call for comments. And I understand from having been copied on the conversation that Gisela has sent Evan the transcript. And I see several people with their hands up. So Alan first.
Sorry, that's left over and I'm not at my computer right now, so ignore it.
Okay, I'll zap your hand. Next is Evan Libovich.
Hi, Olivia, this is Evan. Yes, Matt has put both the statements by Carlton and myself onto the wiki. So what I will do shortly is to rephrase that in the form that's more amenable to a proper statement and put that forward for consideration.
Okay. Thank you very much, Evan.
I'll post the URL to the page right now that has both of the statements on it.
Perfect. Super. Okay. Next, we have going back to the page. Heidi Ulrich to add the at-large new GTLD working group and review group meetings for Toronto. And that, I believe, is also done. So, going back to our main call page today, and we now have the policy advice development page. We've been through all of the statements yesterday. Maybe we'll just go through the last few where something was required. For example, we're looking at 3C.4, request for community input on formulation of 2013-2016 strategic plan. It calls into draft a brief statement. Public comment period closes on the 4th of July, and reply period closes on the 30th of July. Carlton, has there been some movement on this, or was this also new to today?
No, this one is taking me by surprise here. I didn't even see that.
Okay.
I thought that during yesterday's ALAC call, you had agreed to draft a brief statement on that.
This is for the budget. The strategic plan.
Correct. Yeah.
That was what I agreed to draft. Yes.
Yeah, that's correct. So that's the one, the strategic plan.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's in hand.
Well, I'm a little confused because I thought we had already dealt with that one.
No, sorry. Fiscal year, the budget one, I thought Tajani had submitted that some time ago. This one is for the strategic 2013-2016 strategic plan.
That one I'm committed to putting up a draft today. I might have been answering
so
this
question.
I'm so sorry.
We're all in violent agreement. That's fantastic.
Okay.
So next, Next one is the C6, so 3.C.6, and that's security, stability, and resiliency of the DNS review team final report. And Julie Hammer is to draft a brief statement, and she has indeed done so, and the statement will be put on the wiki and voted on with a vote starting today, because the public comment period closes on the 30th of July, and the statement is actually mainly a vote of thanks. Julie, do you want to say a couple of words on this?
Yes, just for those who didn't have a chance to see my statement, sorry, Julie, for the transcript record. The only changes between the draft and the final reports were really some acknowledgement of feedback comments and a few comments to that effect throughout the report, and some fine-tuning of wording in the recommendations. But there has been a renumbering a few of the early recommendations. So if people are referring to recommendations from the report, it's important to make sure that you're referring to the final report and not the draft. But yeah, essentially, as you said, Olivia, it's really a vote of thanks to the working group.
And to Alejandro Pizanti, who was chairing that group, and of course, as you know, Alejandro has been a long time, at large member. Evan, your hand is still up. I suppose that this was from an earlier time. I hope, or did you just put it up? Oh, you didn't. Okay. Thank you, Julie. And so then we have the last two, the proposed modifications for GNSO operating procedures and the .NAME registry agreement renewal, and it was decided that no statement was to be produced on both of these. Does anybody wish to add anything with regards to the policy advice development page? And I see nobody putting their hand up, so we can move on to agenda item number 4. Which is a review of the ALAC meeting of the 24th of July. And note that I say 24th of July because for some of us it was yesterday, but for others it was earlier today. Any notes or thoughts on any of the discussions that took place yesterday? I felt it was a long meeting, but certainly very productive and a lot of interaction and discussion, and it was very well attended as well. I think that most of the points that we needed to attend to were actually touched upon, and proper decisions were taken. And the only thing goes, I have to offer my apology for having forgotten to ask to conduct this vote with regards to this Steve Metallics letter. So I hereby apologize about that. Any comments from anyone here? Wow, this is, I guess, okay. Oh, we can then move on to the next thing. Oh, just a couple more comments. There was a, with regards to the ICANN Academy, just to brief you quickly, there was an informal discussion that lasted a couple of hours last night with Keith Drazel from Verifine, Sandra Hoferista, myself, and also Thomas Rickett, from the GNSO Council, with regards to the ICANN Academy and the push from the community wishing to move forward on this, but the apparent deadlock that we are currently engaged in. The consensus was that there would be a final push to try and see if something could be done for Toronto. If it was not the case, then there was an option number two, which was to do something for the Beijing meeting, which would mean that the newly selected leaders would have already had a few months of operation under their belt, but would be able to brush up on techniques and on their knowledge, and perhaps even supercharge their knowledge in Beijing. This was, of course, an informal meeting, so not minuted or anything, but I thought I would advise you of this, and I believe that Sandra will be restocking the work, if not next week, the week afterwards, and be convening, asking for a conference call to take place at the enlarged working group, and be proposing, along with perhaps some of the other members on there, that this procedure takes place. There is genuine concern at the current deadlock. And looking at the other various issues that we touched on yesterday, I don't believe that anything else took place separately or independently. Just one thing to just remind, and that's again for the transcript, the Computer Society of India, who filed their application to become an ALS yesterday, actually was headed by a person who came to the summer school and who, after the ALAC presentation, which was performed by Avery and also by myself and various, we also had a chat from the GAC who was there, who spoke about ICANN, well, about the GAC within ICANN, and discussion that took place with Milton Mueller, assuming the role of moderator, that had a very positive effect on people's understanding, and there were several people that admitted their interest in having their organization apply as an at-large structure, which absolutely demonstrates the need to be part of such events and to actually have physical presence at those events and be able to take some members of our community to those events. I also note that Freddy Linares from Peru in La Cuala is actually here as well and has also been doing a lot of outreach with the other members of the community. Okay, so, yes, the other thing, of course, the confusion being the ICANN Academy versus the leadership orientation. There is a taxonomy problem there, or nomenclature, whichever you call it.
1 minute remains.
Whether it's the leadership program, the name
Olivia,
really
you're
doesn't
about
matter.
To self-destruct.
Oh, dear. Okay, fair enough. Well, maybe I can then launch you onto the next thing and stop rambling and move on to the next part, which is...
sorry to interrupt.
Yes?
Sorry to interrupt. Yes. It's Julie here. I'm having to sign off now, so I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay,
see you, Julie.
Thank you, Julie.
Drive safe. Rest well.
Will do.
Bye. Rest well and then drive safe,
yeah. Thank you. Bye.
Discussion of Toronto ALAC meetings and agenda. Heidi, please go ahead and then I'll be cut off and be dialed back in 2 seconds. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Heidi. Just wondering if we could have a more extensive discussion on the meetings that you would like in Toronto, and perhaps even start thinking about some of the agendas, in particular for the Sunday session. I know that there had been earlier some discussion of having that be a half day, and or at least not fully until 1800, and then having another session about an hour, I think it's 5 to 6 o'clock on Sunday. And then also if we're having a two-hour policy sessions on Tuesday, so would like to know a little bit about your thoughts on the agenda items for that, for those two meetings. So, Olivia, are you back yet?
Yes, thank you, Heidi, and I missed the last 20 seconds as I was switching back from the computer to the phone.
Yes, yeah, so again, just if we could have an extensive discussion, a little bit more extensive discussion on Toronto, in particular the Sunday session. I know there was some discussion of having a slightly different look to that day, particularly the last hour or so, for some various parallel workshops, as well as possible agenda items for the two-hour policy discussions? I mean, would you like to have more in-depth discussions, perhaps one, you know, an item on a policy issue scheduled for 1 hour, rather than having staff come and speak to you, present to you, et cetera?
Well, Heidi, personally, chairing the meetings, I feel that we are always having to run and having to go so quickly and sometimes having to cut the actual discussion halfway through. Certainly dealing with less subjects and being able to have more discussion and more interaction is one thing. The other thing is the offset between process and policy. And I note, we're all in agreement here, that there have been calls for more policy and perhaps less staff briefings taking place. And I know that Sunday is often the day when we have staff briefings. So I don't know how others feel, but this is the feeling that I received from the community feedback. Am I muted?
No, I don't think it's tell the truth. I really haven't thought much about it.
Okay, Alan, you put your hand up. Thank you, Carlton. Sorry. Alan.
I think it's going to be something we're always are going to have conflicts over. Where do we put our focus? And I think it very much it's got to be judgment calls on the subject, not on the concept. Do we want a briefing on something? But do we want a briefing on something specific? So I think it's going to be judgment calls on the particular items of how we divide our time. And I don't, you know, we're always going to be out of time. We're always going to have more things we can do than we want to. And we need to decide where we want to focus the energy.
Okay.
So I don't think it's a discussion we can have in concepts. I think we have to have it on the specifics.
So if we have a question on whether we wish to have a meeting with compliance, I gather that the answer would be yes.
Correct.
Do we want to have a meeting with language services?
Well, I think didn't we have that discussion in the last EXCOM meeting? And the answer on language services was unless there's something particular that has changed or they need input or we want to tell them, we should not have yet another meeting rehashing the same issues.
No.
Right. How should we do this?
I think we decided
then?
That. That's not my opinion. That's not just solely my opinion. I thought we did.
No, that's not your opinion solely. That's what was said, and that was overwhelming sentiment in the room.
Yep.
So I just took these two as an example, and let's not then have
they're good examples. So
discussion on this again, but traditionally, the way that the schedules have been done is Heidi has been proposing various speakers to me, and we have been making judgment calls as to who to have, who to not have, and based on the general direction in which the hot topics, if you want, that we were working on, and also based on availability of staff. The proposal here is that I include the XCOM into the discussion, and this is why we're having this discussion here. And the question, I guess the first question, is whether all of ALAC should be included into saying what they wish to have on the Sunday, on the Tuesday, on the Wednesday, etc. Alan?
I think that's a fair question to ask on the mailing list. I don't think it's something that we need to be discussing unless it's a particular issue of do we really want this or not, and it can be brought up at an ALAC meeting, assuming there's time. In the rules of procedure meeting we had yesterday on talking about the XCOM, we were trying to define what the XCOM does. And you were on the meeting, Cheryl was at that meeting, and the conclusion we came to is the group acts in concert with the chair to make some of the many, many decisions that have to be made that do not warrant spending 15 minutes of 15 people's time talking about.
They need to be duly considered. They need to have consider the various regional issues and other issues, but they don't need to be done by the group as a whole. That's not to say any given one might not be something we want to refer to the ALAC as a whole, but, you know, there should be people empowered to make these kind of decisions with an escape hatch for asking the ALAC in general, do you have any difficulties with this, or did we forget anything? Or, you know, if you have a particular topic that you want raised with the ALAC, then let's use email for that.
It's all about the way it's presented.
I think that's what this group is supposed to be doing.
Yes.
And
Olivier, Cheryl here. You also need to. I understand why you're trying to be inclusive, et cetera, et cetera. But the bottom line is, agendas are yours. As chair, you get to set the agendas for all our meetings.
Thank you, Cheryl. I'm pretty happy with that. The reason why I asked the question, actually, and I think we are driving in the same direction here, is that, my personal feeling, having all of the ALAC involved in setting agendas is going to do exactly the opposite of what we wish to do, which is to take our members away from the actual policy work and start dealing with the administrative work. And really, this is something which I'm happy assuming the administrative work and perhaps having input from the XCOM, which is exactly what the XCOM does, do things which don't need to have absolutely everyone out there discussing it. The question, though, is whether we wish to have policy updates from staff, from David, from Phyllis. I know Heidi has put on the chat from the NOMCOM, and also have meetings with the ASO, with the registries, with registrars, NCSG, etc. And this, at that point, I note that when there was meetings with other SOs and ACs, the discussions immediately were sent over to the wiki, and there was very little input on those. When it comes down to the staff having sessions and staff updates, session updates from staff, then I made a call myself on this. So the question is really, do you wish to be involved in that, or should we actually say, well, we are not that interested these days in having the updates because most of us are pretty much aware of what's going on and spend more time on actual discussions and policy work. I see Alan has his hand up, then Tijani, and then I'll ask Evan as well to take the floor because he's
okay.
Typed into the chat. So Alan first, please.
Thank you, Olivier. ICANN puts out policy briefings on a monthly basis and before meetings, and I think those are good documents, and I think we want to make sure they're being disseminated. I don't think we want to have general policy briefing and a meeting with various departments or other organizations with ICANN just because we did it the last meeting. I think we want to ration our time and use it for things that are likely to be important at any given point in time. So I don't think we can answer the generic question, should we have policy briefings? If something is hot and we believe that ALEC has to make a decision or has to have a discussion and will benefit from a short policy briefing from the person, a person knowledgeable of it, then let's do it. If there's a group we need to meet with in ICANN because the politics say, you know, it's strategically important, then we may have to do that. But I think these are all going to be done on a one-by-one basis. I think the ALAC should be, the XCOM should be involved, but that might mean you come up with a tentative schedule with Heidi and then ask the XCOM or ask the ALAC, you know, do you see any problems with this? Everyone doesn't have to be involved from day one. Everyone has to be given, including the ALAC, should be given an opportunity to comment before things are absolutely cast in concrete.
Understood.
Okay, that's my take anyway. Otherwise, we spend all of our time you know, the resources of getting people to contribute online are so limited, with the exception of two or three people who will comment on everything, that I think we need to ration what we ask.
That's correct, yeah. I mean, and this is, in effect, what we are doing so far. There's very little input, actually. We do this specifically, we do this for compliance. We do this for meetings with other SOs and ACs. We ask questions and say, please put your questions down on the wiki, etc. So I gather, I take it from what you tell me here, that we keep on doing what we've done so far, and perhaps not say yes to policy briefings from staff as quickly as we had in the past. Tijani?
Thank you, Olivier. I am in agreement with Alan. I don't think that it's important to have a policy update as it is like this. It is not systematic. If you want to have a briefing from a staff or another constituency, we have to define what we want to hear from him or from her. It is not. If there is a hot topic, a hot thing, so we need to discuss it with the other constituency or with the staff. We will go for a meeting for him. But it is not systematic. I think that we are losing a lot of time on those policy updates, or not a policy update of those briefings, if you want. So in the future, the best for me is to have an update from the other constituencies or from the staff when needed, when we need it, or when we feel it is important to have a briefing with them. It will not be systematic. That's my point.
Okay, thank you, Tijani. And next, Evan, are you able to speak?
I am, but I don't have much more to say. Frankly, you know, policy discussions just have a sort of numbing effect on me to start with, and we've been around the block on this. I've said previously in email, and I've tried to emphasize that in the chat, that that there's a need to break things up. We had a very good streaming system working in the at the at-large summit, where everybody who was there was broken into groups of their interest, and those groups sort of met for about an hour and a half, optionally having an expert person coming in from staff or elsewhere, and then those groups reported back to the larger group in order to make an overall statement. So that would, to me, accomplish two things. Number one, it would allow people to gravitate to their specific areas of interest. And number two, it would bring to the forefront those who weren't pulling their weight. It's harder to fall asleep in a room of five or six than it is in a room of 25. So basically, for those two reasons, I was suggesting a streaming approach. Beyond that, I really don't have a whole lot to add to this particular discussion. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Evan. And of course, we have the working group model, which in effect does this sort of thing, doesn't it? Because
it can, but we don't give explicit time. There's a couple of individual working groups that meet on their own. But generally speaking, most of the working groups do not, unless there's a very hot issue, meetings during specifically. For instance, in the case of future challenges, we had to have a couple of 8 a.m. meetings and so on, because they weren't part of the regular stream. So what I was going to suggest, something that was more thematic as opposed to based along the lines of the formal working groups, and the particular themes could be chosen by ALAC with the guidance of the XCOM, and if they're chosen soon enough, that we can find out if there's particular people from staff. So, for instance, one of the themes I suggested was RAA/compliance, And there's obvious people from staff that would be invited to that, issues on the GTLD program, and so on. You know, for outreach and inreach, that would be the place where we would have folks from partnership, from global partnerships and the fellowships come to talk. And so these people then would engage the smaller groups as opposed to the current process of having the roadshow of staff coming in and making presentations to the entire group. You know, what I want to try and do, as we tried to do with compliance, was to get people away from the canned slideshows and into a more informal engagement that we're driving the process and ask and finding out what we need to know as opposed to what people think we ought to be told. Thank you.
Thank you, Evan. Heidi has written something in the chat. Heidi, do you just wish to comment or question? Have a question on this?
Yeah, this is Heidi. This is a really interesting discussion, but I'm just somewhat confused for Evan. For example, the two topics that you've mentioned, they could be discussed in a meeting. For example, the compliance and RAA could be discussed in the RRR working group. The outreach and inreach could either be discussed in a working group of the new outreach working group, or traditionally in the past we've had a whole morning session on outreach and inreach with everyone.
Okay.
But
this is what I'm saying. There's some people that will shut down during that discussion, dragging all 25 people into that when, you know, for instance, we had Sandra at the end of the Prague meeting sort of saying, okay, enough about navel-gazing, I want to talk about policy. You have some people within our group that are interested in things like that and some that aren't. Dragging all 25 people through every specific issue is not a good use of everyone's time. I have no particular preference if this is a thematic model or a working group model or whatever. I'm just suggesting that not everybody necessarily needs to or wants to be a part of every single policy topic. And the idea of having streams enables people to spend more time in the things that are of interest to them. That's my point.
This is Heidi. Okay.
Yeah, Heidi. Go ahead, Heidi.
So, I've sat through as many meetings as well, and I thought that the outreach-inreach discussion always had quite a bit of interest from everyone, but if not, that's fine. And then the next issue is, what about just rethinking the entire Sunday session? I mean, if there is a consensus that people are feeling that they're being forced to be in one discussion throughout the day, what about just holding a series of parallel sessions on Sunday and then coming back into a full meeting for several hours on Tuesday?
I sort of thought that's what I was suggesting in the first place. There's two separate issues, one of which is the issue of what I was saying, that not everybody is interested in every issue. On the other hand, we usually have the same usual suspects speaking almost all the time, and by breaking it up, it not only allows but practically encourages and perhaps even forces people to, you know, to get involved. When you're in a group of five or six and you're not speaking, it sticks out more than if you're buried in a group of 25.
Okay, thank you very much, Evan and Heidi. Let's have Alan Greenberg, please.
Thank you. I guess I disagree to some extent, although I can see the benefits. As Evan just pointed out in the end, there are some topics where there are strong overlaps in terms of people's interests. That's number one. Number two, I think what you're describing is somewhat impractical in terms of the real logistics of meeting room availability with good facilities, including, for better or worse, interpretation. I think we need to be more selective in what we're talking about, and you know, people need to be prepared ahead of time to talk about them. Yes, there are some things where maybe a working group is the better focus, but I really don't see it as the general solution. It's so rare that we get together as a group, and I think we need to make use of it better than we are right now, and I think that's by being more selective and not trying to do everything each time. So although the working group model is interesting, I think it's impractical in the general sense.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you.
And certainly I note that Heidi has mentioned also that interpretation is probably one of the hardest things to do when you have parallel working groups. Carlton?
Thank you, Chair. This is Carlton Summers for the record. I wanted to say that's my problem, my takeoff problem, is that we need to select what it is that we're going to do. Too much of the stuff. And that's where my takeoff point is. So if I were going to select what it is that we put on the big show for, it would be themes. And Evan, I'm agreeing with Evan's selection of the themes that I think are important for us to highlight and showcase in the policy discussions. And what I am suggesting is certainly along the lines that Alan has said, and I endorse Alan's perspective on this. You select the themes. This is a way forward. We make choices for the substantive discussions. We select the themes and we people them as appropriate, but not in breaking them down in groups. I just don't think we need to have the language services people and all the other whole set of people coming in. If you look at the themes, you can select the areas where we want specific information. We will control what we ask from staff and people come in, and I think it would improve the policy discussion. That's my point. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Carlton. Any answer on this, or any more points on this?
And my Adobe Connect is not responding, so I'm cut off.
Okay. Well, I'm about to be cut off as well because I think we said what we needed to say here. Heidi, does this enlighten you a little bit more? What I see really is that we're not going to have policy sessions provided throughout the Sunday, having the full road circus, or whether it's a Sunday session or whether it's the Tuesday session. But we can choose what we need to have if we do need to have that. Perhaps have less sessions so as to be able to discuss what we need to discuss in further detail. Make use of the working groups when we need to have parallel sessions, bearing in mind that interpretation will only be available for one of the working groups if those sessions take place in parallel. Really make use of the time that we spend over in the face-to-face meetings. Alan, you put your hand up.
Yeah, I'm going to say something that's probably not politically correct. Throughout the rest of ICANN, we have heard regularly over the last couple of meetings, there is too much to read before ICANN meetings. There are too many documents published. There are too many things to review. Something has to change. To be candid, one does not hear that comment from ALAC and from at large. I don't.
Well, Alan, I beg to differ.
Let me finish. I'm not saying there is no one who hasn't said that. I'm saying, in general, I don't think ALAC people are doing a huge amount of reading and preparation for the meeting.
Oh,
and
well, if you're
that
saying that, no, I agree with you.
I'll be finished in a moment. And I understand we want to talk about policy, not process, but I really think there's a cultural issue that has to be addressed. And if people would be doing a percentage of their homework, if only reading the policy updates that come out via email and on the web ahead of time, we would be able to reduce significantly the amount of staff briefings we have, and we could focus more on real issues. I don't believe people are doing their homework. I don't believe there's a perception that they need to. I think if we could fix that, we would be a lot way farther in figuring out how to schedule our meetings. Thank you.
Thank you. Can
thank
I just quickly respond to Alan?
Yes, Carlton. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Well, Alan, I think that's precisely what the problem is. That is why this roadshow of various executives coming in was so salving to people who didn't read the documents or attend the policy webinars prior to the meeting. If we had that kind of response to the webinars and the documents beforehand, we would not need to have this whole roadshow. This is precisely why I think we should lock it down, and this is precisely why I think it is the duty of the chair and the ESCOM to make choices for the things that we think are important and have those put down for the policy discussion. In other words, less people, more intense discussions about the issues that matter, and probably a better meeting to boot.
Okay, thank you very much, Carlton. Next is Tijani. Tijani, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. I strongly disagree with the parallel sessions. We already suffer from the parallel sessions, and especially in Prague, we had a lot of problems because we weren't able to attend the sessions we wanted to attend. And I think that it is preferable to cancel certain sessions on policy update if they are not needed, rather than make parallel sessions. Thank you.
Thank you, Tanya, as I struggle to find my unmute button. Is anyone else in the queue? Okay, we might have reached the end of this subject. Heidi, does this give you a better idea of how we'll be putting this together?
Yes, this is Heidi. Yes, I will take your suggestions into account and draft a tentative agenda and send that to you for your review.
Okay, perfect. And we'll share that, therefore, with the ExCom and take this further then on the mailing list. That's probably the way forward from there. Okay. The next agenda item, I guess, is the last one, is the any other business. And so I ask whether there is any other business.
Not at this
and time. If you do wish, if there is any other business, because my Adobe is off, you would have to shout out your name, please. And hearing no one shouting, I think we've pretty much cleared everything we needed to discuss today. So I thank all of you for this call. And miracle, we have 1 minute to spare.
Thank you.
So thanks
thank you,
to all of you
yes.
For,
yes.
For attending. And let's continue the discussion on the mailing list. And have a very good forthcoming weekend.
Thank you, Olivier.
Thank you, Olivier.
Thank you, Olivier. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. The Adobe Connect audio will now be disconnected. Bye-bye.